Sam Slade, it's time for a new video.
It is. Right, Kevin?
Yes, it is.
We're here.
This is the spookiest episode of them all because we watched The Void, the spookiest movie ever made.
And
I watched Father's Day, though.
And there were more spooky things going on involving The Void and with Father's Day.
So we were going to originally watch Father's Day, if you watched last week's episode.
Yes.
Cut to just a shot of how many people have watched the video from last
There's
week.
There's like 12.
The last time I checked, there were 7.
No.
How many of them are you guys?
What?
One of them's me.
Okay. Just making sure.
Only two of them are me.
Where you go?
So there are 3.
One's Alex's mom.
One's Penny. I made Penny watch it.
Oh, wow.
So last week we said we were going to watch Father's Day, which Sam Slade recommended. But then Kevin came over and really wanted us to watch The Void.
Yeah.
And while we were watching The Void.
And we were like, Kevin really likes The Void a lot.
Yeah.
So we're like, that's perfect for his first week here.
Kevin's here every week.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I'm always here. I hope found this.
Something I thought of earlier that we haven't done but was an option is just to have Keegan be like, wait, what's the name of my character again? But so while we were watching The Void, we realized that there were a few weird
cameos,
similarities.
Because
me and Alec had just seen
dots.
Father's Day today, and then we were watching The Void, and we're like, is that the priest guy from Father's Day? Why would he be in this movie? Why would he be in an actual movie?
So yeah, and it turns out that the group of guys that made Father's Day and Manborg and all those other movies that Sam Slade really likes.
All those classics.
Also made The Void.
Two of them did, yeah.
Two of them made The Void. Six directors.
Yeah, two of them out of the six directors. And like two other ones showed up in the movie that are also directors from those movies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, damn, you fucked that up, Alec.
Well, it's okay, I'll let it
in. Yeah, he'll cut it out.
Keegan, that's the magic of this, is that anytime you fuck up or say something you don't want to say, you just edit it out. So much of editing is just making us sound smarter.
Turning mistakes into miracles.
Cutting out all the uhs and pauses.
Even if we called you not Kevin the entire time, you just dub in Kevin every time.
Yeah.
Oh, just cut off the audio for not?
Mm-hmm.
And don't change the lip sync.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I get a full on shot of me saying Keegan, with an emphasis on the Keegan, and then just overdub it with Kevin.
I'll also show you guys the new spelling of my name I got recently.
You changed the spelling of your name?
No, the people at Wendy's changed the spelling of my name.
Oh my god.
It used to be K-E-E-G-A-N. They changed it to K-E-G-A-E-E-N.
That's too
oh
many.
My God.
That's too many.
I don't know what the fuck they were doing, but they did it.
Well, anyway, so
that's Kevin, a weird way to spell Kevin.
Kevin,
yeah.
You recommended The Void.
I did.
So why did you recommend it?
So all of us are fans of John Carpenter. We all love some nice good John Carpenter movies.
Kevin's always talking about John Carpenter.
I love him, and so I'd watched The Void not too long ago, and I said, man, this is like a John Carpenter movie. This is like John Carpenter fan film. And so I came in. I'm like, hey guys, we should just watch The Void instead. Fuck Father's Day,
because I didn't watch it.
Because I didn't watch it. There
watch
was a,
The Void instead, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you guys hadn't seen The Void yet.
No,
so,
we
haven't. So.
And I think it's a good pick. I liked it. I liked it way more than I thought it would. Because like it has like a 5 on IMDb, and it was something Kevin was really excited for.
Yeah, I know. I have shit taste.
I think this is a rare occurrence for me because it's rare that I, like, I'm in the perfect mood for a movie, and then the universe just supplies me with the movie that I'm in a perfect mood for. Like, I didn't even know that I was in the mood to watch The Void, but then as I was watching it, I was like, this is what I wanted. Like, I didn't even know I wanted this, but I did, and now I'm like, it's great. Like, it's a treat.
Yeah.
I went into it, like, I'd heard Kevin talk about it a few months ago, and I called him a loser for wanting to see it.
Yeah, you did.
I did.
Yeah, I remember that.
I was like, I don't think it's going to be good, just because IMDb was like, it sucks.
Well,
so people were like,
it sounds kind of lame, like, if you just hear the premise, which I, like, the premise is very vague, without any spoilers, to just, like, it's just like, oh, some people are in a hospital, and then...
People are trapped in a hospital and spooky things are happening.
And it's like, oh, and Lovecraftian monsters that are like, they make you lose your mind if you see them or whatever. Like, that all sounds kind of lame to me. just because that can be really bad really easily.
Mm-hmm. I when I see the word Lovecraft in the description for a movie or anything, I just instantly go, it's going to be shit.
Yes.
I enjoyed reading like the H.P. Lovecraft little short stories and all that, but anytime I see it as a description, I instantly go, oh, it's just fucking garbage.
Keegan, I am so on the same page with you. It hurts. It's
Kevin.
Kevin, I'm gonna overdub it.
Okay.
The word Keegan will never be said in this video.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm so on the same page with that. It's so easy to not work. Like a lot of times when it's done, it just comes across as kind of like almost pretentious in a way. Because I feel like a lot of people that like Lovecraft enough to like. Mm-hmm. reference him in their movies, they usually think they're really smart and it comes across. Well, I can't think of any specific examples.
It's hard to like adapt Lovecraft stuff because there's so much like mental, like you just like gotta get an idea of what's happening.
Yeah,
where it's like, oh, and this character saw this thing, it was so crazy he went insane.
Yeah,
or it's like you show that in a movie, it's like, why'd that make him insane, you know?
Yeah,
not like. Like it's something that is difficult in people.
Yeah, and in actual Lovecraft, it wasn't, oh, he's now insane. It's people consider him insane because he's talking about a goddamn alien coming down from the sky and getting into a fist fight with him.
Yeah.
What's interesting is that John Carpenter is actually one of the best people that has ever adapted any Lovecraft work.
Mm-hmm.
Keegan, Kevin, you haven't seen In the Mouth of Madness. But
I have not,
It is easily his most Lovecraft-inspired work.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, back to The Void.
Well, I mean, the thing, to tangent again, the thing is pretty directly Lovecraft. Yeah. It's pretty much just a Shoggoth.
Yeah.
I mean, it's set in Antarctica, too, so. But yes, back to The Void.
So the movie starts out pretty, like, slow, and you're like, I don't really know what's going on. They're in a hospital, and then just crap happens. And
yeah,
like,
the movie feels slower paced than it is in the beginning. Like, it's like a song that changes tempo out of nowhere. It starts off, like, really kind of, like, atmospheric. You don't really know what's happening. And then it just kicks
in
gear and goes at 90
miles per
hour.
A bunch of KKK members show up, and you're like, I don't know why they're here. I don't want them to be here, though.
All right, so then we'll do... So, Kevin, the next thing we usually do is a spoiler-free review.
He knows this.
Well, Kevin, you do this every week.
Yes, I do this every week. So
the next thing we do
free.
Is we just talk about it and give like a like.
Yeah.
Out of 10 score. So, Kevin.
So okay, so we're just gonna start with a brief description now.
A brief description up until any spoilers, and then just like if you have any problems that don't end with spoilers or anything that you'd like to praise about it.
Yeah.
And
okay.
We'll probably interrupt you at some point. Like, this is easily the least constructed show on the internet.
No, I'm with you guys now.
All right.
So the basic premise is initially you see this drug guy running out of a house, and all the other people there got killed by these two guys. And then everyone just starts... Oh, shit, man. I fucked up this story already.
It's okay.
So then,
there's a cop who picks up a druggie and takes him to a hospital, and there's two guys who are after the druggie, who also meet up at the hospital, and now there's an entire cast there, and they're all trapped there by the creepy KKK.
Yeah, it's very reminiscent of movies like
Assault on Precinct.
Assault on there's a little 13, Assault on Precinct 13
or,
going on.
Yeah.
Or
Prince of Darkness, also a John Carpenter movie.
There's some pretty heavy Prince of Darkness things from. Yeah. I've never seen it, but from. Sam Slade kept going, oh, wow, this is just like Prince of Darkness.
This is just Prince of Darkness.
Not in a bad way. I was just like, oh, yeah, this is really similar.
Yeah.
I like Prince of Darkness, so who cares?
Yeah, so it quickly becomes this group of people that is just trying to survive the night in this hospital. And then there's characters with interconnecting love arcs. Well, really only one, but...
There's backstory between all the characters.
Yeah. More than you think.
And
anyways.
There's very Assault on Precinct 13 in the sense of like there's a group of just trying to survive the night in terms of they're all trapped together.
And there's just people surrounding them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It also reminded me of another movie that came out more recently that no one has seen called Last Shift. It has a similar vibe to that. Which
is that the one where someone took like a pizza cutter and cut a satanic symbol into their face? Because that's what it looks like, how the person cut it into their face.
Yes, yes, that movie.
What?
Last Shift, where the pizza cutter in the face.
I have no idea if there was actually a pizza cutter involved.
Have you seen The Last Shift?
No.
Oh.
But I saw the face.
Pizza cutter is the worst murder weapon ever. Like, yes. Or like for a
serial
killer.
It's the slowest and most painful.
Imagine Michael Myers.
The person looked like they took a pizza cutter to cut a pentagram into their face. So that's just how I call it in my brain.
You can barely cut pizza with a pizza cutter.
Well, that movie is about one girl who is in a police station, and they're about to close the police station down, and she has the last shift, and it's a haunted police station.
Oh.
Well, this and also then, has the hospital. They're shutting it down, so yeah. This is kind of like...
That's where it warm, yeah. And there's evil cultists in that movie, too. So
oh, man.
The link was stronger there. I think that The Void was much better than... The last shift.
Then pizza cutter face,
then
yeah.
Pizza cutter face. Well, the effects are way better. So, Keegan, one of the things that I really liked about this movie is it was done by some of the same guys that made Father's Day. And
which
Father's
had crazy
Day
effects.
Has some wacky effects. And this movie has really good effects. Mm-hmm. All the blood is goopy and there's lots of it. The monsters, for the most part, look really good. Like,
oh,
they,
yeah. No, I love how the monsters look.
Going
yeah.
back to John Carpenter, a lot of it's practical. Like, there's almost no notable, like, CGI.
I can't really think of any.
Yeah.
The only CGI I can recall is the epilogue.
Yeah.
And that's very noticeable. But other than that, I can't think of any CG.
Yeah.
Yeah, the effects look really good. I'm a nerd for the practical, good-looking effects. So it tickled that part of me.
Mm-hmm. It got right up in there.
It got right up in there. It fingered uh-huh. that bean.
Fingered the bean?
It fingered.
We're growing something tonight.
Yeah.
Classic Kevin.
Yep. Yep.
So yeah, I would say it's a relatively recent movie. So and I
came out last year.
Yeah, I think it wasn't even released in theaters until earlier this year.
It could have been, yeah.
Because that's when I remember Kevin first talking to me about
yeah.
it. So mm-hmm. it's really recent. So if you haven't seen it, it is on Netflix. I highly recommend it. It is
yeah, go see it.
It is a solid.
Before we start to spoil everything,
5 pizza cutters out of pizza cutters.
I will give it probably an 8 out of 10. I mean, it's a solid horror movie.
Keegan did his homework.
No, he didn't.
Holy shit!
He did that on accident.
No, he did his homework.
No.
Let me believe that Keegan did his homework.
I have literally no idea about
so
what.
So there's a running gag that Kevin gives every movie that we review. I mean, he does it intentionally. Every single movie he gives an 8 out of 10.
yes, it is an 8 out of 10.
Yeah. So, spoilers. Go see the movie.
Spoilers.
It's a good one. It's on Netflix. It's short.
Yes, it's an hour and a half. It does not feel like an hour and a half.
No, it felt longer in a good way to me. Like, I felt like I was in that movie longer than I was, but not because I was bored, but because I was just, like, glued to it.
Yeah.
Like,
see, it felt short to me because I'm like, oh, wow, we're at the end now. Oh, man, that just blew through. That was, you know, I got sucked in.
Yeah, the reason it feels longer, I guess, is because so much happens in it.
Yeah, like I there's just like this is something I noticed around the 15 or 20 minute mark. Every scene is jam-packed with something. Like if once the plot gets going, almost every time the camera cuts to something else happening, there is actually something else happening. There's almost no downtime in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few like scenes where you get a little a breath where it's not like crazy action happening, but in those scenes you're still given important conversations where characters are getting over each other. There's a big kind of clash in the beginning where the two characters that you see killing drug addicts in the beginning come to the hospital. And then they want to kill the final drug addict that they were trying to kill.
Mm-hmm.
And the cop is like, no, you can't kill this drug addict.
This is a sacred hospital.
He's just a drug addict. You don't need to kill him. And he's like, no, I've seen hell and I don't want to go back.
I'm a worshiper.
So it's a whole mess of miscommunication in the first half. Like, no one's really talking to each other. So that dynamic of just, like, paranoia and no one trusts anyone plays a huge factor.
Yeah, and most of the characters don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Even the two characters, I'll call them the hunters.
the Ahabs.
Yeah, the Ahabs. Even the Ahabs aren't entirely certain what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So slightly getting into spoilers, something that was interesting, like with the characters not knowing anything, was like when crazy stuff, like not just crazy, like, oh, they're yelling at each other, like crazy stuff that is supernatural and shouldn't exist.
Like the thing monster coming out.
Like when the monster comes out for the first time and it's like the nurse lady and all that. They just are like, all right, let's chop it to death. Let's keep hitting it with an axe till it dies.
Well, that's something, like, when, so, the first thing that happens supernatural, like Sam Slade was saying, is this, is one of the nurses at the hospital just turns into a monster, like a thing-esque monster.
Well, she also stabs a patient in the eye to death with scissors before getting shot and then turning into the thing.
Yeah.
And then, so I was thinking about this when it was happening, because the cop goes in, they hear screaming, and they run in, and they see the thing monster and the drug addict's like chained to a bed right next to him, and he has to get him off. And I was like, "What do you do in that situation?" Like he shot it and it didn't work. And I was like, "What do you do if a gun doesn't work? What do you do?" I have no idea. I don't know what I would do there. There's a big old monster right in the corner of the room, and what the fuck do you do in that situation?
Yeah.
I mean, and that scene's great because he looks like he's thinking that to himself. He's like, I don't know what to do in this situation. He tries kicking.
Let's close the door.
and the old cop's just like, after he shoots, it's like, what the fuck do I do now?
Oh, he checks out. He's gone.
Like, what the hell's going on?
I'm
going
to go home. I'll fight the KKK members.
The old cop just decides that he doesn't want to be alive anymore, so he just kind of stands in the corner until he dies.
One of my favorite bits is right after that, after they kill the monster the first time. And, like, they chop the guy's head off, and the old cop guy dies. And they're like, let's go get that shotgun. That seems great, because, like, they're just running out there, and then, like, all the... Like, there's nobody out there.
Yeah.
And then they cut away, and there's one guy by a tree, and you're like, oh, he's really far. It's just one guy. And then there's, like, 10 of them. And, like, they just keep appearing. And one appears behind the car.
Yeah, right. It was very Assault on Precinct 13. Mm-hmm. Like, just the fucking people just appearing and just standing there.
Well, there's a... That's also in Prince of Darkness.
Okay.
So, well... Well, so instead of KKK members, it's homeless people. It's great.
I was going to say...
One of them is Alice Cooper.
It's also very reminiscent of Night of the Living Dead, which they have playing mm-hmm. in the beginning. The way, you know, because there's the scene where they're trying to get the gas in the car and mm-hmm. there's zombies and everything goes wrong. It's very reminiscent of that. And that scene, I feel like that scene happens in every single one of these types of movies.
Yeah.
But they do it well. It doesn't feel too overdone or, like, uncreative. Like, the way it plays out is very tenseful because, like, there's literally nothing out there at first.
Yeah.
And the car is farther away than it was the last time you saw it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very tenseful.
Intense, some might say.
Is tenseful not a word?
I don't know. I've never heard it.
I believe that tenseful is a word.
Okay.
Deep in my heart.
Well, Kevin is a communications major.
Yes.
I am a communications major. I know all about communicating.
Tensile's totally not a word.
Tensile's not a word at all.
I don't think tensile's a word, dude.
Yell it in your phone.
If you're not in to the movie by then, by like the point where the monster shows up, everybody's yelling at each other, they axe it to death and all that, then, I mean, you might as well turn it off. Like it's just going to keep being that, I guess. Like,
yeah.
I was definitely into it by that point, though. I was like, oh my gosh, what is going on?
The movie also doesn't disappoint. Like, I could easily see that idea kind of falling apart after a little bit because you just don't know how to end something like that.
I was worried about that when they went downstairs. Like, it was like, they're going downstairs. It's the crazy, it's the void.
Yeah, so they're...
They're going downstairs and all the crazy stuff is happening. Like, it's like all weird. They're hallucinating and things like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know if they know how to end this movie. I don't know how to end this movie. You know, like, I don't know how this is going to turn out. You know,
yeah,
but it ends pretty well.
Yeah, I think they handle it.
It ends like Prince of Darkness.
I think they handle it pretty well because they use that going down into the void to give a little bit more characterization to the characters that go down. You learn more about the two men that were killing the meth addicts in the beginning.
The hunters.
Yeah, you find mm-hmm. out that you know that was. It's a father-son type thing, and you find out a little bit more about their backstory. And it's not done in a super ham-fisted or, like, exposition-filled manner. It's mm-hmm. it's handled very tactfully.
Yeah.
And very quickly. Like, it didn't spend too much time on anything like that. The movie did not have the... It knew how much of your attention span it had.
I almost expected a flashback of what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they didn't do that, and that was great.
Well, and that's something I've always really liked about John Carpenter movies, and one of the things I praise John Carpenter for the most is that he knew how much of his audience attention he had. He knew if I
explain this too much,
they're not going to care.
Yeah.
I'm going to lose them.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie carried over that very important aspect of John Carpenter.
Like, Halloween's great. It has almost no world building, but it has, like, all the world building it needs in one line where they're like, was that the boogeyman? They're like, oh, yeah, no, that's the boogeyman.
Yeah. It doesn't go back, or, I mean, it has...
It doesn't have a flashback where
it's not like...
Yeah, they have that, but they don't have, like, he's the boogeyman because he was magic or whatever. Like, it's small enough, you know?
Yeah, and they don't explain things that don't need to be explained.
Yeah.
What? How did he get these spooky powers? He did.
Yeah.
why can he do this? Because he can.
He
because we need the movie to happen.
Like, in the thing, like, there's, like, a bunch there that, like, you're like, why is this like that or whatever? Like, when they get to the ship and, like, oh, it's cargo. Like, they know the thing was not the one piloting the ship. It's like, well, then what was piloting the ship? It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
We're talking about the thing here, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, things like that is like this movie.
Or like Escape from New York, where it's just like the whole world's like fucked over and you're like, what happened?
It's like, we got a prison, dude. It's all New York.
Why is New York a prison? Why is the world like this?
That scene is also great when they go inside the downstairs like void place and like there's the zombie thing or whatever, that creature or whatever, just banging his head
trying to kill itself, and he can't die.
Well, like it's like just banging his head into the pipe, and like the pipe's going through his head, and you just see the pipe coming out the other side. Why won't I die?
It's barely stopping on
and
like
then
one
he
chunk
like
of bone.
Pulls his head off and he turns over, and there's just the camera goes straight through his head, and like, oh, he's just been doing that for a while. And
he's been doing that for thousands of years.
He's just like, die. Why can't I get through?
So closing thoughts.
Closing thoughts?
I mean, unless we have more that we want to say. I feel like, I mean, movies like this that we like, we just generally don't talk too much about. It's like, oh, I love this movie.
Yeah.
It was nice and spooky.
It's nice and spooky.
It wasn't jump scare spooky. It was spooky.
There was not a single jump scare.
There was jump scare when the doctor shows up behind the nurse.
Right.
She's like, where's the stuff? She ducks down, and then he's right behind her, and he goes,
yeah,
or, that's not even that bad of a jump scare, though.
That's barely a jump scare, but there's the music jump.
Yeah.
And I think there's one where the KKK turns up behind the cop.
Oh, yeah.
And stabs him.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Another connection to Last Shift is every character by the end of it is either dead or part of the cult.
Ooze.
Well, Trauma Girl and Trauma Boy survived.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
To be traumatized together.
Yeah, that the two most pathetic characters survived. I mean, the guy is fine. He was just a mute, so it sucks that he has to live his life.
He's pathetic. He's a pathetic mute.
I think he actually doesn't know English.
He's got donkey mouth.
Kevin, that I would buy that if we found out that he doesn't speak a word of English
or has
a super thick accent, then I'd believe it. Mm. But no, to live the rest of your life like completely traumatized because he was kidnapped and held at that.
I'm telling you, dude, he's mute, so he has to charades his explanation to people. It's like, well, what happened to you?
He wasn't kidnapped. The cult killed the mom and the baby, and then cut his throat open because he trusted one of the cult members.
Because
he said the last people he trusted cut his throat open.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I remember that now.
Yeah, and then
big monster.
And then the Asian girl was just like a loser the entire movie. Like she was just a bitch.
I can't do it.
What a pussy.
I can't perform a C-section.
I could totally do that.
I could just cut it easily. I don't care.
Keegan,
I'm a nurse, sir, and I can't stand the thought of blood or anything.
Yeah.
Well, she wasn't even a nurse. She was like a hospital assistant.
Yeah. Okay.
She was a
nurse practitioner or whatever. Yeah.
But she still would see people all bloody going by her all the time.
Well, yeah.
I did like how she was freaking out over people dying and like seeing blood.
Yeah,
because
that's fine because people are getting murdered in front of her. But
like the dude just walked outside and walked back in with a fucking stab wound.
Yeah.
So I will say one of my least favorite parts, and it's not even a bad thing. I didn't hate it.
Mm-hmm.
But I, like you, Keegan, I think you would agree with this. Just that the last scene is a little unnecessary.
There's like an epilogue.
Yeah.
The epilogue ends and then it goes to black and then it cuts to a new thing.
Oh, the pyramids.
The epilogue had no purpose being in the movie.
Well, I feel like it's just trying to give you one last twist, like trying to boggle your mind, but it has no real meat behind it. Like, it doesn't offer you any information or anything.
Like, you could have imagined that was already in there.
Yeah.
You know, like.
I didn't get why it was there. It didn't impact me.
Like, the green screen didn't look great. Like, they didn't look like they were actually in that environment. They looked like they were on a green screen.
It's an example of, like, what we said earlier, where it's, like, it's Lovecraftian and it doesn't translate to film very well. You know? Like, I feel like that's something that could be in a Lovecraft, like, short story.
Yeah.
Yeah, they went into the spook dimension when they died, and it's just like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
They're there. There's a floating pyramid.
Yeah,
it's spooky.
But
yeah, good pick, Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin. Thank you. It's a good Thank movie.
You. We're sorry we made fun of you all those months ago.
That's fine. I'm a pathetic loser, so Kevin, you should.
Kevin, I want you to know that I love you and you're my best friend, and I'm so glad that you recommended this movie.
Yeah.
I am so sorry that I didn't listen to you. I respect you, Kevin.
Thank you. Thank you, Alec. Thank you, Alec, who is not Sam Slade.
I'm not Sam Slade. Kevin.
You're not. I don't know. You're why not. You'd say I'm agreeing with you.
I don't know why you'd say that. I don't know why you'd say that. So anyway,
another classic pick by classic Kevin.
We don't really even need to do like recommendations or anything because next week we'll just talk about Father's Day with Kevin.
Yeah.
Kevin, I hope you're excited to see Father's Day.
I am looking forward
next week
to old man dicks.
When all
everywhere.
Three of us.
Oh, not just old man, young man. Baby dick.
I know that there's other dicks. I see old
pictures
man dicks.
Of dick.
You're looking forward to old man.
Pictures of dicks.
Yeah.
Look, if there's one thing that Kevin's love, it's old man dicks. It reminds me of my childhood.
Oh, what were we sponsored by?
Oh, Keegan, what were we sponsored by this week?
Today we were sponsored by Dragon Dildos.
That's a real website.
We had to make up fake ones.
It's not like make up fake ones. Usually we just do like something that's like how could that's not like last week was scissors.
The concept of being wet. Today we are being funded by the concept of being wet.
Brought to you by the letter wet.
No, it's not a letter. It's a concept. You fucking moron.
Brought to you by the letter wet.
They're gonna stop giving us money if we don't advertise them properly.
I don't know how to advertise wet.
You know, the other day
just get a cup of water and splash.
The other
yourself.
Day I was wet and I was very damp.
Did you get dry afterwards?
I didn't because why would I? We're sponsored by Wet.
And I so always want to be wet.
If you want
to
be
always wet,
you can go to your local shower and put water on yourself and put in the promo
shower
code.
Sink toilet.
Ocean.
Be sure.
Ocean.
Be sure for your 50% off promo code, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin is wet. The promo code.
All right. Well, thank you guys for watching. Thank you, podcast listeners. There's still six. We get like more podcast listeners regularly than video watchers. Like weird. It's weird.
Oh wow.
And thank you, Wet Sponsor, for
thank
sponsoring
you.
Us being wet.
Man, maybe we don't
my
put,
shirt sticks to
maybe
my
we
body.
Don't put our advertisements well enough. They never sponsor us again next week.
I know. Scissors will never come back.
Like, you misrepresented scissors. That the scissors bit was my favorite one of the advertisements so far. Just because it was like, oh, I was using my scissors yesterday, and I cut something. Sam Slade, what do you do with your scissors?
I run with them.
Oh, that would have been good. Nobody said run with this. Well, no, the sponsor would not like that. That is irresponsible scissor using.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's good that you didn't do it then. Well, I guess it doesn't matter because they're not sponsoring you again.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, now we can. I'd be like, screw those scissors sponsors.
Screw those scissors guys.
I ran with them.
Well, in a few weeks, we'll make a dirt on scissors video where the real reason we're not sponsored by scissors anymore.
Guys,
just running with them.